Today on Annenberg Radio News.
All the days I love to play, and all the days when I am at school, I love gardening.
One elementary school is fighting obesity in a grassroots way. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Thursday, March 26th. I'm Jonathan Horn. Liquor stores, drugs, and gangs have plagued the King Estates neighborhood in South Los Angeles for decades, but some residents are trying to tackle the problem. The Community Coalition has launched the Neighborhood Transformation Project to reduce crime and clean up the area around Martin Luther King Jr. Park in South LA. The Community Coalition is gathering right now to make their concerns public. Reporter Richie Duchon joins us live near 39th and Western in South LA. Richie, why are they over there?
Well, John, this is the Community Coalition. They're gathering here today to send a message to Mayor Villaraigosa and their city councilman, Bernard Parks. They say they want this liquor store's license revoked. This liquor store is across the street from a brand new public library here that is a positive influence on the neighborhood. They say the liquor store is definitely not. They say it fuels addiction, crime, and violence, and they want the mayor to do something about it soon.
Thank you very much, Richie, for that live report.
You got it, John.
There you go. Now moving on, Angelenos can now start lining up to trade their guns in for groceries. Today, the governor and the L.A. Sheriff's Department kicked off the 5th annual Gifts for Guns program. The program, which began in Compton, allows people to anonymously turn in firearms in exchange for gift cards to stores like Ralph's, Target, and Best Buy. Sheriff Lee Baca says the program is an opportunity for people to rethink gun ownership.
We have found that the majority of gun-related crimes are committed with stolen guns. Thus, the key here is to take guns away from those who have decided they're no longer necessary for themselves.
The Sheriff's Department says it collected and destroyed more than 3,000 guns last year. Governor Schwarzenegger also announced L.A. County will receive more than $1.5 million to combat gun violence. The exchange starts at 10 a.m. this Saturday at Linwood City Hall and will continue for 8 weekends across the city. California's budget deficit has left the L.A. Unified School District short $700 million. As schools face larger class sizes and limited funds, some communities are taking the problem into their own hands. Emily Henry has more.
In the next few years, LAUSD risks becoming as tattered as many of the textbooks at Crenshaw High School. But before the pencils are worn down to a nub, a group of teachers is reaching out to community groups for help filling the gaps left by the government.
Here at Crenshaw, we need more resources. A lack of resources is a crime to me.
The number one thing, new books. New books, upgraded books, books for everyone, because sometimes you may go to the textbook room and they're like, well, we ran out of books, we don't have a book to give you. Maybe laptops that actually have keys, because we have to guess which key it is because we have missing keys. You know, more access to the library, more new library books that are updated, more with information that's out there that we need to know.
At a February event, teachers, students, and members of community organizations gathered to exchange ideas and business cards.
Your turnout here is a testimony to the fact that you're not going to give up on our kids and our community.
One community group offered to help create a sustainable food supply for the students by turning an unused patch of land into a fruit and vegetable garden. Other groups offered student internships at their organizations, as well as professional mentors, to supplement teachers and increase one-on-one learning. But what do the students want?
Change. Maybe we could have more organizations helping us, being a better school and not being looked at as the lowest school that we are looked at as, you know?
The event was spearheaded by the Social Justice and Law Academy, one of 5 learning academies at Crenshaw High. Teachers and students are encouraging the community to fight the cutbacks proposed by the Los Angeles School Board.
We're smart, we're bright, and we're able to do things. We just need the support and the people to lead us to what we need, and we will do it. Hopefully they will think it over and help us and come back with Crenshaw.
On Monday, teachers from the Academy will host a community forum at the Baha'i Faith Center, beginning at 6:30 p.m., to discuss protesting the LAUSD layoffs that will affect 3 of 10 classroom teachers within the Academy, as well as its only counselor. The LAUSD board will vote again in June. Emily Henry, Annenberg Radio News.
A coalition of union members marched in downtown Los Angeles today in opposition to the Employee Free Choice Act. Esther Pomeroy has the story.
Let's get bailed out!
We get sold out!
The Employee Free Choice Act, which is currently before Congress, is designed to make unionization easier. Earlier today, union workers stopped in front of several downtown banks who are lobbying against it. Antonio Jones, a political representative for the L.A. County Federation of Labor, says they targeted banks that had received federal bailout funds.
Today here, we're just trying to get the message out that these banks will receive bailout money, that they're actually using that money to fight against workers' rights.
The march started outside Bank of America and ended at Citibank. It attracted members of several unions, including the Service Employees International Union and the United Steelworkers.
The Employees Free Choice Act gives working folks the right to use their signature to sign up if they want to be a part of a union or not.
Under current labor laws, if a company's employees want to form a union, they must go through several steps, including a secret election. The Employee Free Choice Act would allow workers to bypass the election and would simply require the signatures of a majority of employees. Critics say that because the signatures would not be secret, the process could subject workers to pressure and harassment from union members. The bill would also strengthen penalties against companies that discriminate against or illegally fire union workers during organizing campaigns and contract negotiations. Congress will likely vote on the bill this summer. President Obama has said he will sign the bill if it passes. Esther Pomeroy, Annenberg Radio News.
Tonight, temperatures will drop into the mid-50s, but then it's really going to start feeling like summer. Friday's forecast calls for a high of 78, and Saturday a little warmer, peaking at 80 degrees. Later on Annenberg Radio News, activists try to set the agenda for President Obama's upcoming visit to Mexico. Last week, Michelle Obama planted the first garden at the White House since Eleanor Roosevelt's Victory Garden. The First Lady says its purpose is to fight obesity. Daisha Eaton introduces us to a similar garden at a school in South L.A.
The kids at 24th Street Elementary School are fighting obesity from the ground up in a pea patch. Many of the students are from immigrant families with agricultural roots, like fifth grader Carlos Ramirez. He says picking peas brings back memories of his old home in Mexico.
I'm from a pueblo. We used to do this a lot. It's kind of like kids' jobs.
Carlos says he struggles with his weight, and he isn't alone. By the time kids in L.A. reach fifth grade, more than 1 in 5 are overweight, and Hispanic children are disproportionately affected. Nat Zappia is trying to change that. He runs 24th Street Garden.
So this is our garden. It's a 3/4-acre vegetable garden. Looking from left to right, we have some dormant peach trees and artichokes.
Peach trees and artichokes are not common in South L.A. McDonald's and Kentucky Fried Chicken are. Last year, city officials put a moratorium on fast food restaurants in the area. The school garden is a local attempt to address the problem. Each week, students cook up the food they grow in an outdoor kitchen and share a meal.
The best habits start when you're youngest, especially with food, because food is so central to everything we do. If we teach kids that food, not only the healthy aspect, the idea of sitting and eating and making food and meals sacred, rather than kind of eating and rushing, which is the dominant cultural paradigm here in the U.S.
But can a school garden really make a difference? Dr. Jonathan Fielding, who runs the Los Angeles County Health Department, says since there are no major studies on the subject, the jury's still out.
Directionally, it's very positive. Whether it's going to have an effect on the rate of overweight and obesity, I don't think we know the answer to that. But if it helps them get more comfortable eating fruits and vegetables, certainly has to be positive in a number of ways.
Dr. Fielding says what happens off campus also has a huge impact. Just step onto the curb outside 24th Street when school lets out, and you'll see an army of snack vendors lined up.
Everything, the ice cream, candies, chips.
That's where I find Carlos, poking his round face into a snack van. And instead of picking peas, he's buying chips.
I usually get the melons, watermelons, apples, mangoes, especially mango, and orange for me. And I just bought chips because no fruit stands today.
The snack vendor is his aunt. Family is a huge influence on how kids eat. That's why 24th Street invites parents to be a part of the garden. Kimberly Walker and her 5-year-old son, Elijah, have their own plot where they're planting melons and peppers.
Here in LA, it's too expensive to get a house, so we only have an apartment, so it's good we could come here and garden. At least we have dirt here and a garden here so we could plant.
Walker is from Belize, where she grew up gardening. She says it's important to her to pass down gardening to her son. Plus, it's fun. Elijah agrees.
All the days I love to play, and all the days when I am at school, I love gardening.
I think you just like playing in the sand, in the dirt.
No, I just love gardening. So don't try to trick me, Mommy.
And Carlos, he's back in the garden, soaking in the sunlight.
In other places, they say that this is boring. For us kids, this is actually fun.
And even if they don't know it, taking another step toward a healthy lifestyle. Daisha Eaton, Annenberg Radio News.
Immigrant rights activists gathered in front of the Mexican consulate today with one request: help for the millions of Mexican immigrants living in the United States. Caitlin Funero has more.
Hillary Clinton is on day two of her first visit to Mexico as Secretary of State. She's meeting with Mexican President Felipe Calderon to try and put a stop to the violent drug wars that are quickly spilling across the border. But activists like Raul Murillo think Clinton is missing an opportunity to add immigration reform to the conversation.
We want to send the message that the Latino, the immigrant community in the United States, we understand the problems that the economy has caused to thousands of families. We understand the problems that the violence in Mexico has caused to thousands of families as well. But the main issue for us here in the United States affecting millions and millions of families, millions of millions of workers, is the lack of action from Congress and from the American government towards an immigration reform.
With rising drug violence and a struggling economy, immigration reform seems to be on the back burner for now. But in an address to the Congressional Hispanic Caucus earlier this month, Obama made it clear that he has not forgotten about the immigration issue. Juan Jose Gutierrez from Latino Movement USA thinks the government would be wrong to put other problems first.
It doesn't seem to have the level of priority that the issue of fighting narco criminals is getting on the bilateral agenda. We fully expect them to tackle this problem with the sort of urgency that they are dedicating to fighting the violence created by narco criminals.
The violence on the border has already claimed an estimated 7,000 lives since January 2008, and the U.S. government has set aside $300 million to tackle the drug problem. President Obama plans on visiting Mexico in April to meet with President Calderon to talk about immigration issues. Caitlin Funero, Annenberg Radio News.
For more analysis of U.S.-Mexico relations, I spoke with Javier Rodriguez, political strategist for the March 25th coalition. I began by asking him for his thoughts on President Obama's first visit to Mexico.
This is the first trip abroad to Latin America since he became president. It's, in that sense, it's a good sign. The focus should be on drug rehabilitation. and on legalizing drugs in this country.
Do you think Obama or anyone will consider doing that?
I have not seen any overtures, statements on the part of President Obama referring to, instead of spending the billions upon billions of dollars on a false war, that has not brought any positive results, neither will the Merida plan, the Merida Mexico plan, in other words, the sequel to the Colombia plan, which hasn't brought any good results in Colombia either, meaning that drug production has increased since the introduction of the Colombia plan at a whopping 27%.
Well, what do you see as the biggest difference now between Obama and Bush of the last 8 years?
In that sense, the biggest difference is the willingness to be able to talk, okay, to other leaders and countries, at least verbally. And the difference between Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State and Condoleezza Rice is that Hillary Clinton is, I would say, sincerely admitting that the problem of weapons and the problem of drugs is 90% the fault of the U.S. government and its voracious society. Yes.
And when someone says 90% is their fault, that means that, in your opinion, they would work harder to fix things.
Well, the problem then comes as to the methodology or the approach, the conceptualization for a counter strategy. And what we see is the calls to militarize the border even further. That's not going to go anywhere.
Mr. Rodriguez, thank you very much for the time.
On the contrary, thank you very much.
Javier Rodriguez is the political strategist for the March 25th Coalition. Tesla Motors unveiled a prototype of their first all-electric five-door sedan. It's called the Model S. CEO Elon Musk says the car will carry as many as 7 people for 300 miles on a single battery charge. The car will cost around $50,000 after the government chips in about $8,000 toward the cost. Tesla hopes to start manufacturing and selling the car in 2011. Now we check in with Christian Martinez to find out what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. Christian?
Thanks, John. Tonight on Annenberg TV News, we'll tell you how Obama is using online media to reach a younger generation of voters. We'll also be remembering the late Emery Stoops, a former professor at USC's Rossier School of Education. We spoke with some of his colleagues and find out what President Sample has to say about the matter. And do you have a sweet tooth? Find out why candy stores are doing well despite the poor economy. All that and more on Annenberg TV News tonight at 6.
Thanks, Christian. I certainly do have a sweet tooth, but I'm going to go get some candy because that wraps it up for today. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Jonathan Horn.